Martha couldn't do an ad. She would anyway. Hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. It's Phil Parr along with Don Patterson and Don Shaw.
Yeah.
And here we are, gathered at the Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive. That's the way Frankie would say it.
That's right.
Southwood Drive.
Dial it live on the air.
All right, I will.
Show 213 this week, by the way.
213. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Joy Bubbles is not alive because he would be able to memorize the phone dialings here.
There you go. Yeah, with the tones. Yeah. What a deal. See what happens here. Ring number one.
Ring number one.
Our mystery guest.
What would...
Hello.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Well, hey.
What's happening to you today?
No, right now I'm cooking.
What are you cooking?
I'm doing meatloaf.
I love meatloaf.
Yeah.
Doing a little meatloaf. So.
My God, if you're well enough to do meatloaf, if you're well enough to get
like
your ass up here.
I can do a meatloaf and never get in my truck.
I've had enough of this. Now, you know, if you can do meatloaf, well, you can come up here and visit with your mates.
Are we on the air? Are we being taped right now?
We are on right now, sir.
Hey, hi, world.
It's right after 3 o'clock on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
Stirring my oatmeal into my meatloaf, and I looked at the clock, and I said, well, Phil's going to call in a minute, so I'm taking a break.
Stirring your oatmeal into your meatloaf.
Yeah, I put a little oatmeal in it. Sometimes I use cracker crumbs and stuff like that, but I'm using oatmeal today.
Oatmeal today. Well, that's good. What's the occasion? Just cooking dinner?
Well, you know, this would be the first thing I've done, and I don't know when, as far as cooking is concerned.
Really?
It really is. Chris and Quita's been doing all the cooking.
Well, I bet they're glad to have you back, because you were the top.
I bet they are.
You were the chief cook there for.
I was chief cook and bottle washer for a while.
Yep.
For many, many months you were.
Yeah, but this is the first meal, and Quita's helping me with it. I mean, I can't take full credit. Just partial credit.
You know, Thomas, Thomas, Emily loves it when I cook. She always says that my canned soup tastes better than her canned soup.
Well, you must be feeling some better. You wouldn't be up
cooking. Well, I'm feeling.
You sound good.
I'm feeling real good. It's until I start trying to stand up and get around. That's when the bad thing hits me. And, I mean, I'm talking short-winded, sometimes a little dizziness.
Yeah,
and
I know.
We're
all old,
Tommy. Yeah, we're getting old.
That happens to all of us. I can't put my socks on anymore with that sitting on a low box.
You know, I'd have a hard time with my left sock.
Because I can't raise my leg up high enough to put my socks on. It's pathetic.
Don Shaw can put his on fine, I bet. And Patterson's aging a little better than I am.
They need to get some younger people in here to do these shows.
They do, don't they?
And get rid of us old farts, you know? It's pathetic. Trying to talk about our health. Well, I just keep expecting every week he's going to surprise me.
Well, I certainly appreciate you.
Well, come surprise me some week.
I'll do it one of these days, I promise.
How's Gordon Vick? How's he doing?
How's who?
Gordon Vick.
Oh, Gordon Vick, my brother, yeah. He got his disability Social Security through the other day.
All right.
And so he's happy as all get out.
Well, that means he can start buying homogenized milk again, right?
That's right. You know, they turned him down two times, and of course he gets it on the third one.
They turn everybody down the first couple times, unless you're blind.
Yeah.
Should have told him he's blind.
Emily has a brother that's an attorney. He does nothing but that and veterans' disability, and he's a wealthy man.
Well, it pays good. Now that this guy gets, I don't know if it's 10% up to so much money, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the government has to pay him, I think. You don't have to pay him, do you?
Oh, is that? I think it comes out of his money.
You think
it
does?
That pay.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid from February 04.
Yeah, you get paid from when you apply.
What a deal.
So he's going to get a hefty little first check there.
Well, tell him maybe he can afford bus fare to come to Left Kentucky.
Well, yeah. He said he's been having financial problems. This is going to help him.
Well, that's good.
His income, just being retired now, will be good.
Well, you tell Borden if he gets in a bind, I got 100 he can borrow anytime he needs it.
Okay.
Listen, we're going to go, and we love you, and we'll see you next week, maybe.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Have a good one, Thomas.
See you guys.
Later, Thomas.
All right. Thomas Houston Vick with us. Not with us. Did I clear that? I did.
He's with us.
He's with us. I don't know why he didn't come on.
Sort of with us.
Home making a meatloaf. He can make a meatloaf. He can come up here and hobnob with his mates.
Seems like it.
That's what I would think. You think my mic sounds better today, Pat? You said it sounded kind of muffled the other day.
No, it sounds good.
Sounds better today, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I made a couple little changes.
A little more bright. A little brighter. A little brighter.
Right. Yes. Email time. Email.
Yes, the bag runneth over.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Bag runneth over. Okay, we'll stumble through them. Went to the optometrist today to get new glasses. So,
and he can't make your glasses.
Well, we're not sure what the hell they're going to do, actually. All right, this one says, hi, all. I have some leftover pieces of plywood from some previous projects stored in my downstairs workshop. Some of them are fairly large. Yesterday, I went down there and started sorting through them. And to my surprise, I found most of the sheets had a very serious bow or warp in them.
Yeah.
In all cases, the warp is in the long dimension of the board. And I think I know what he's talking about there anyway.
Yeah.
It says, is there anything I can do to take the warp out of these boards? Any help would be appreciated. And that's from Ed Przybyck. Sorry, I have no clue.
Probiotic.
Well, maybe. Great. Okay, anyway, yeah, Ed.
There's a lot of things you can do. You can take one up on the roof and nail it to the roof joist, and it'll flatten right out there, sir.
Yeah. Well, it got lots of responses, and I couldn't do them all and everything. But actually, the bottom one, or to me, the one that makes a lot of sense, or the most sense, because I'm convinced that's, you know, it's the weather. This has got to be moisture, humidity in or out of the air.
Probably.
And the way that plywood is created, it's in layers. And so the general answer, I'll just read that, and then we can carry on a little bit. It says, it is humid. If it's humid, leave the curl up and let it gain moisture. If it's dry, curl down and let it flatten. It says when it is flat, cover it. If this doesn't work, there is probably related to the core or the way it's put together. But anyway, I do similar. If you know, tendency is to store sheetrock, in my case, drag it into the garage long ways, the long side down. So in other words, 8 feet front to back and the 4 feet high, and lean it up against the wall at 30 degrees, and sure, it's going to bow.
It's going to bow every time if you do that.
And so if you turn it around, go out there next month and turn it around, it'll bow back the other way. But the optimum place would be to lay it flat and put some weight on it. You know, lay it down flat.
Have your mother-in-law walk on it.
Or either, if you have, and I've done this before, I've done this with 2x4s. Say if you had 3 or 4 sheets of 8-foot by 4 plywood, take 2 2x4s and put them on each end, but in about a foot, and put 2 clamps on them. And in other words, make a little vise out of your.
And eventually, your plywood would straighten out.
Well, it'll, that way you could just stand it up straight. But also, as Phil did say, there's not, you know, it depends on what you're going to use it for, but good nails gluing would take out some of that warp. However, I think that is one reason that they've gone to ABS now for roofs. Decking instead of plywood because ABS won't warp.
It's called OSB.
OSB, yeah. Okay, and OSB will not warp, and plywood tends to sometimes. So.
Well, but it'll all come apart if it gets wet because it's glue board.
Yeah, it'll all come apart if it gets wet.
It's board that was sawdust at one time and was put in a pressure thing and glued together. I mean, that's how, you don't think it. There, yeah. What's the last 8-foot by 4-foot tree you saw?
Yeah.
Well, that's all made. Well, that's all. That's all sawdust glue wood.
But you know, anymore, even we keep. I notice it in, you know, chewing gum, the size of chewing gum sticks or candy bars or wood. It keeps getting thinner. The price goes up and the quantity get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And anymore, you'll have a 2x4 that will bow. Let's say you have the 2-inch part, or inch and a half, actually, now sticking up, laying flat on a piece of concrete, and it's laying down on the 3.5-inch side. I've seen it bowed like the letter C in that direction. I mean, on the flat side, as opposed to it being bowed from the inch and a half side. And that's just like crappy lumber, and there's not a lot you can do with that. But I have straightened out some.
Yeah, if you got to, if they send you lumber out, you better look at it when they send it, because they may send you some stuff you can't, you know.
I had a couple of nice 2x6s, and I left out in the weather, and they warped a little bit. But I put my big clamps on them and left them out. I turned them over, and actually they had gotten wet when they warped. So I turned, after I put my clamps on them, I put the water hose on them and turned them over and let them dry up for another month.
And they bowed the other way.
They were perfect.
Yeah.
Used them. So anyway, okay, well, we probably confused that poor guy.
depending on how it's laid, but if you lay it, like you said, at an angle against the wall, it's going to warp inward.
Every time.
That's right, every time.
And so if you can lay it flat and put some cinder blocks on it and in the four corners or whatever,
you'd be better off. All right. Whatever.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. What does it say? All right, here's another one. It says, hi, gang. I'm contemplating purchasing a circular saw or a table saw.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here we go. This generated more posts than I think I've ever seen on it. It says, I know I have to cut some plywood to make a counter for the wet bar I'm having. Then he invites us all for beer.
But yeah.
If you like keg beer.
That'll work.
If you like keg beer, come on over.
Yeah.
He said, I'm also thinking about making a little cupboard type of thing to put by my front door. The thing I don't know for sure is which saw would be better for me. And then he's speaking from a totally blind perspective.
Yeah, I suppose.
Are table saws safe for a total to use?
Let me just stop you and say, yes, they are. Go ahead.
He said any help would be greatly appreciated. And let's see, I think I would get the use out of either, but don't know what would be the best. There were posts and posts and posts, and Dale Evans wrote a good one, which I didn't copy, but maybe y'all read it and y'all could, we'll take y'all's opinion.
Well, he said the same thing the rest of us all say, and it just depends on how much room you got and what you want to do.
I think, also, in one regard, I would say, how much do you think you're going to use it? You know, one project does not make a table saw worthwhile in some regards.
That's the truth.
I mean, and there again, here's my philosophy. Also, like, how much money do you want to spend? How often do you think you'll use it? With all the guides that are available, and I've discussed guides for skill saw or circular saws before that are perfectly blind friendly safe.
Absolutely.
The worst thing that a total blind guy is most likely to do with a circular saw is cut the cord. We know such a guy.
We know.
But anyway.
Come on, lady.
If you had I would buy a cheap circular saw and a guide before I would buy a cheap table saw and a guy. If you can afford a table saw, if you can afford a good table saw. And then Phil has the other wrinkle. You need some extras with that table saw.
Well, you need something for that board to roll on or to slide on. I've got some, and I bought these for a pair of them for $10 at the tool show, the one of the first ones we went to where I bought the drill press. And they're... what is that?
An airplane, man. Believe it or not.
They're little things with rollers on top, and you can adjust the height of them, and so you adjust the height of the thing. Good Lord, to the height.
Hope he's not trying to land on the driveway.
To the height of the table saw, and then, of course, you got something to roll your board on. If you had four or maybe six of those and you spaced them around, but you got cutting a piece of plywood. You remember, when you're cutting a plywood with a table saw, you got to move this 8-foot by 4 foot sheet of plywood. You have to move that plywood. If you're cutting it with a circle saw or a skill saw, you're moving the saw, which weighs, you know, the plywood weighs 30 pounds. The circular saw weighs 4 pounds.
I agree.
I think that's the whole key right there is, you know, if you're using a table saw, you're toting the load. If you're using a skill saw, the skill saw is working. So I would look in Sears. I've talked about this before. Makes an excellent guide that will just about handle any cut on a piece of plywood, with the exception of a perfect 4x4. But they also make one bigger. But for mine is 2 feet long. It has a little guide. It clamps on the front of your saw, and it is almost foolproof. I mean, I'm partially sighted, but I've cut wood closed with my eyes closed. And it will cut, if you want to cut an inch and a half strip and you manage your saw properly, you can cut 20 inch and a half wide strips and stack them there and they'll all be the same.
And they should all be the same.
So I recommend, and it costs like $29.95. You know, the cheapest table saw you're going to get is $150. And sometimes they're cheap. The fence moves.
If you were paneling a shop that was 80 by 60, and you're going to cut a bunch of plywood, you ought to buy yourself, probably ought to buy you a nice table saw, because you're going to have plenty of room. But boy, you get a 4x8 sheet of plywood in the shop. My shop is 16 by 20. And man, you're fighting a battle. You got to have you're going to hurt somebody with it.
Well, and there again, and depending on, you know, how strong you are too, you get up into 3/4 inch or an inch thickness board. I don't know what you'd be building, but you're talking heavy.
Yeah, they're heavy.
If you're handling it by yourself.
Yeah.
And then the secret there again is when you get toward the end of your cut. Where does it fall? What's it going to do?
You've got to have those.
Yeah, you've got to have those rows.
You've got to have those rows. So if you're cutting a sheet of, if I wanted to cut a sheet of plywood right now, I would take it outside, lay it on little sawhorses, and cut it with a circle saw.
Yep.
I wouldn't attempt. One time, I took a piece of plywood in my shop and pushed it across my table saw. It took 3 of us to do it, and I'll never do it again.
Well, and one just to add one more thing to this, somebody answered him, and I won't read the whole thing, but he said he's sort of a beginner, like this guy apparently is, and he says for big sheets he prefers a circular saw. For little jobs, you know, a little piece of sheetrock, you can a 4x4 or a 2x4 that you want to cut a part off, and you got your fence set right. This guy said that the table saw is good, and
that's what I said. Making two 2x2s out of a 2x4. My table saw is a darling. It costs $140. I don't even remember who made it, but I bought it at Lowe's, and it came with a little stand that you put together, and I got those roller things, and it works fine. What this guy needs is a compound miter saw and a cheap or a some sort of circle saw
with the guide on it from Sears.
With the guide on it from Sears, and you can build anything you want to build.
You could do it.
We'll wait a minute. Let him read a little bit because our thing's going to be short. We'll never get this number.
Okay.
We're getting close. Yeah. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Answer. Max Robinson says, "What is MDO plywood?"
Tell him.
All right, and I Googled it, Max. I hope you're listening. Is Max still listening?
Yeah.
You think he still listens? Okay. Anyway, Max, I hope you're out there.
Wouldn't miss it.
It says called MDO, or medium density overlay. It's engineered plywood with a resin treated fiber applied to both sides.
And it's heavy.
Whatever that means.
Yeah,
that
I bet
gives
it is
an
heavy.
Extremely smooth finish. I think it'd be good for cabinets, maybe.
It would be.
That is easy to paint. In addition, it's rated for exterior use, which I didn't know.
I didn't either.
Which means it's safe from the elements, insects, or other outdoor hazards, making it perfect choice for the new deck or porch. Well, I don't know about a deck outside where water might stand on 40x8, but it's interesting to note that it's good for outside.
I didn't know you could use it outside. I thought it would come apart.
What I didn't do in my pursuit there Googling is find out what the price is, because that sounds like, I bet it commands a hefty
price. I bet it's heavy stuff.
We will have that for you next week. Stay tuned, Max.
And that's medium density.
Yeah, that said medium density overlay.
So obviously there is a heavy density overlay and a light density.
But it sounds like it would be perfect for like cabinet tree, you know, the one with those both smooth sides and easy to paint. So interesting. I had never heard of it before. I just what caught my eye from.
How did he come up with that question? Was somebody on the list?
I know I had just was going down through the list amongst all the circular saw.
I saw the question, but why did he ask the question?
I have no idea. I'm saying I just saw amongst all the circular saw questions and the other plywood, warped plywood. He just said what was. I just saw him out there, and that was all he said in his message.
Anyway, back to that question the guy said a while ago. Is a table saw, any tool you buy is safe if you use it safely. If you don't, you can get hurt, a bad hurt, by anything you buy. But anything you buy, you need to use safely and be careful and use some common sense. And why would a tool be safe for sighted people and not be safe for blind people unless you're driving a car?
Well, there were several responses on that very subject. One guy said he had rather use his sable saw as a blind man than have his sighted friends use it. You know, because they get out there and they just don't. You know, the old saying, we've said it 100 times and it doesn't make sense, but when you analyze it, it really does. Keep both your thumbs in your pocket when you're using your tool.
That's,
you know?
And you'll be all
make damn sure you know where your hands are.
That's the thing. That's what I told John Conley when he was. We were building those little cabinets down that right there that's sitting right behind you.
Yeah.
That you drove your nail.
Yeah,
we were trimming those. He was helping us cut some plywood. I told him, you know, just remember where your hands are.
Keep the hands. You know the old saying, if you don't get on the track, the train ain't never going to hit you.
That's right. That's right. So buy any tool you want, just be careful. Well, we have a little audio that we recorded in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the home of Danny Rossi and Teresa Rossi. Teresa kept her name, and I can't remember what her name is. Anyway, Dan and Teresa's home, we recorded out on their deck and talked about tools and did a little video and eventually planned to have the video up somewhere where you can go view those things. Giovanna took some video. That's just isn't all done
Flickr.com.
Flickr. She'll probably put it up on Flickr, but we thought we might. Can't you put video up on our list? Don't we have a place?
Yeah, we could upload it to SendSpace or YouSendIt or one of those type places, and folks could get the link and just
get the link off the
list. See it at their convenience.
So we'll get that up one of these days for you folks who can see. But we're going to do the audio here in just a minute on the Blind Handyman Show, starring Don Patterson.
Yes.
John Shaw.
Yep.
And I'm staff announcer Phil Parr. We'll be right back. Shows we've done three or four about this wonderful deck of Dan's, and we're standing on it. It is solid as can be.
Yes, it is. It's got the joists are 12 inches on center, and there's blocking, two sets of blocking in each joist bay, so it's pretty solid.
And your idea of putting in the things to hold the boards on, the clamps, whatever you call them, from underneath, worked out
it worked
wonderfully.
Fine. Yeah, there's no hardware in the surface of the deck, so that you don't see any screws or nail heads in the surface.
And the boards are angled.
Yeah, so they come in at a 45.
Reach out.
You come down till.
Reach out in front of you about 2 feet, Bill. Okay,
so you can see here is the one board coming in from the right side, and it runs into the side of the board coming in from the left.
I see.
And if you actually, you can trace there's a zigzag pattern. And that's the basket weave.
And it's every two boards, so...
It is every two boards.
Every two boards, the reverses, and so there's a
and
big...
And these are kind of bevel-edged, nice boards.
Yeah, I routed the edges. The
oh,
end.
You did that yourself? Well, they didn't come like that.
The long edges came pre-routed, but then
okay.
I routed the ends.
The little short edges.
Yeah, where they met.
I see. Well, it's you know, solid as can be. Now, if I can stand back up, they will all be in great shape. Well, this is the deck, but it has...
I'm back over here, Phil.
Few, huh?
I'm back over here.
Oh, back over here. A few blind people listening, it has no rail. So if
yeah,
one of us
no
drops off and you hear a great reverb sound of someone falling, it's meaning that someone... Dan has a rope here, I see, that would lead you... and it is a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous sunny day in Pittsburgh.
Yes, it is.
You said that we wouldn't be able to sit out on the deck, and sure enough, we can.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Weather, cool weather came to Pittsburgh late this year.
But it's amazing. I mean, it is, you know, we're, what is it, the 20th of October?
Yeah.
And it's probably close to 70 degrees. It's gorgeous.
Feels like Texas.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you, Dan. We've seen the hardwood floor and the Dan's house. We're going to, we'd go down to the basement, but I don't think we're going to go down and look at the radiator. We'll just have you describe it for us.
Oh yeah, we can show you a very similar radiator in the dining room.
Okay.
Discuss the tools that Dan was able to buy. We always say that projects are reasons for buying tools, and Teresa, you would agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So what tools do you have that you didn't have before you started this massive project?
So do you actually want like a picture of Teresa's hands around my throat?
That would be great.
I just showed him the screen. He'll be wanting one of those.
What didn't I get? We got a joist hanger nailer.
Pneumatic
joist hanger nailer. So it's a nail gun that the nails are exposed so that you can actually put the tip of the nail right into the hole of the joist hanger and then shoot the nail.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice. It only shoots basically joist hanger nail, so I don't know how useful it is other than that.
How long are they?
Inch and a quarter, I think. Maybe inch and a half.
But you can actually put the tip of the nail in the hole where you normally would put a drywall screw.
Exactly. Or, yeah. So that you, because with a regular framing nailer, it's a little hard to know.
Okay, you can't do it.
Right. Exactly where the nail is. This, the nail, the whole end of the nail is exposed, so you can just put the tip right in the hole and pull the trigger, and bam.
Got to have one.
Yeah. They're really
nice.
Got a pneumatic palm nailer, which came in pretty handy.
Yeah.
And so you can just tap the nail into place and then put the nail palm nailer over it and put it right in. 3-inch nails, not a problem.
Two drivers.
What?
Two drivers.
Oh, two cordless screwdrivers.
Yeah.
The first one we got, and it was good. It was just a little big to fit between the 12-inch joists.
Yeah.
And so I got a smaller one that's pretty powerful, and we were actually driving 3-inch screws with it, and the thing is tiny. I can go and get it for you and show you.
All right, I want to see that.
It's pretty small. All right, we got another level, mm-hmm. Teresa, and what else? We got some other things.
See, you had a compressor.
Well, that was for this project.
Yeah.
Our project involved the compressor and the other nailers.
No. Well, all right, one of the other. So for the floor project, Teresa's brother loaned me his floor stapler, which is a big pneumatic.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
They're great.
And it drives these long staples through the edges of the board, right above the tongue of the tongue and groove board, and drives it down at an angle.
They did that on the blog cabin when we were watching on the.
That's something you wouldn't need that. You don't need that much. You wouldn't go buy that.
No, that's why I borrowed it from Teresa's brother, but he couldn't loan me a compressor. So I went out and bought a compressor.
Oh.
And then once you have a compressor, you know, you got to have something to use with it.
The world is your oyster once you have a compressor. You're up with your pneumatic tools.
Yep. So I bought just a little stapler, and I used that to staple the masonite floor, subfloor down. And then I bought a brad nailer to put in these trim pieces that you see here. So I got those, and so I guess now I've got 5 pneumatic tools. But those were 2 different projects.
Well, that's a good start. The hammer drill.
Sort of. I got a hammer drill kind of last year in preparation for the deck project. And it came in, you know, we needed it and still need it. There were, I don't know if you saw the railing posts, Phil, around the edge of the deck where I have the rope tied.
Yeah.
There is no railing post currently up against the house to start the railing. So I need to, because I have to hammer drill some anchors into the wall, and I really have found I dislike drilling into the bricks of this house, mainly because they have a bad tendency of falling out when you drill into them.
So, I can see where that would be a negative.
Yeah, it kind of takes away from the fun.
Yeah.
So I still have to put that railing post up. What other tools?
I haven't even discussed the dryer vent. We've ancient history. We're not that far.
The dryer vent, which we had to move. Because that was where the ledger board for the deck was going to go, so I had to move it lower, which meant putting it through the foundation wall, which was a whole several weekends of chiseling and hammering and drilling.
And swearing.
I bought a nice new handsaw, actually, because the handsaw I had just was small and dull, and so I bought a new handsaw. Because my compound miter saw doesn't quite go through 1x6s at a 45-degree angle. It's not big enough. So a larger or sliding compound miter would be very useful. But we may do with the compound miter I have, and then we'd have to do the 45-degree cut and then hand cut the last...
Finish it off with the hand saw.
Yeah. All right. And that worked fine. And I got several measuring tools. I bought, Teresa gave me the Rotomatic for Christmas last year. Was it last year?
I think so.
Yeah. And then I bought the, and I had the talking tape measure from a year or two before that, but it went crazy on me, and it's on its way back to England now. And I bought... What's the other one, Phil? The click rule.
I don't have one. I've heard about them. I've never seen one.
I can show you mine, except it broke the first weekend I was using it.
Oh.
Yeah. So it jammed, and I took it apart to clear it, and the tiny itty bitty little ball bearing that actually makes it click fell out. And disappeared.
Okay.
So I have to send that back. So,
You folks did this all basically as newlyweds here, just got together and lived through, and you're still together after these projects?
Believe it or not.
It amazes me that we didn't injure ourselves accidentally or otherwise.
Well,
I was
going to
say, injure.
It's better to do them early in a marriage. I found that out. The pieces are triangular shaped.
Actually, the pieces along the edge are triangle, but actually what it is, Phil, the squares are laid parallel to the 45-degree trim angle.
And then
so along the edges, they're cut to a triangle.
That one would be a square. This one here would be a... Okay, I see.
Yeah.
And so you laid this and put this little strip here and... That's pretty neat.
So, I cut the trim molding several times.
You're going to be talking extensively about this floor and that. Be the right temperature, and you got to do it just right. And if you don't, it'll buckle on you. And we've got... Is this kind of like what we have on? Or same?
Is this a laminate?
No, it's hardwood.
Okay.
But it is tongue and, I got it.
Yeah, the tongue and groove. Yeah, that's like what you guys
have. In the living room.
I bought it pre-finished because I did not want to deal with sanding and varnishing a floor.
Are these larger pieces than ours, or the same?
No, I think it's the same.
I think it's about the same,
yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't know if they come there, Mark.
They're 2.25 inches wide. I could have gotten them wider. It's actually a pretty small room. So apparently the smaller boards help make the room look larger. I guess if you use really wide boards, it makes the room look smaller.
It's larger since the radiator's gone.
Yes, yeah. The radiator was right behind that couch where you're sitting.
That's what I was thinking. It had to be right under this window.
Yep. Yeah.
It'd be a perfect place for it.
Yep. And there is a fireplace to your right, kind of a heavy end to the right against a perpendicular wall. And we up until a week ago, we were planning on putting a ventless gas fireplace in there.
We talked about that.
Right. And but apparently the guy who gave me the quote on getting a new furnace said they could put a panel radiator behind that couch that's much, much thinner and closer to the wall than the old radiator. So the old radiator was 8 inches wide and was sat away from the wall about 2 inches. And this new one is 3 inches wide and can sit almost up against the wall. So we may do that. I think we're going to do that.
And would go behind this couch?
Yeah.
Well, how would that work? I mean, it looks like...
That's where the old one was, too, and the couch was right where it is.
We could probably put it on a different wall.
Yeah.
You'd have to move the couch to do that.
Yeah, just move it forward a bit. And, yeah, it's not the most efficient way, but there's not a lot of wall space.
You're not going to use the fireplace at all?
No, the fireplace has been... It's boarded up. I mean, the chimney is boarded up.
Yeah,
fireplace is open.
Because we were in Texas, we were trying to talk into burning wood.
Yeah, well, the firebox just isn't big enough to burn wood. Okay. I've been warned against it.
Yeah, it originally had a gas heater in it.
Yeah.
Like when the house was built.
80 years ago. It probably just won't draft enough to have a wood burner in there.
All right, let me just explain to you the sort of the cast of characters just so you'll know. Dan's wife, Teresa, was there. My wife, Lou Ann, was there also, and Jovina was doing the filming. So you'll know who all those female voices are.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a trip to Dan Rossi's house. Nice little house, little three-story basement, and downstairs with a kitchen and living room and dining room downstairs, and the bedrooms are both upstairs. Of course, you remember this started all when he had this closet that was a long closet, had a door at one end, and you couldn't get to the stuff in the other end, so he took the wall out and put bifold doors, remember?
That's right.
Remember how long ago?
We talked about project.
He's about got things done.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take just a short break and come back and talk about several little different subjects. You just stay tuned and you'll find out what they are, okay? There you go. You're listening to The Blind Handyman. Vocals, don't we? Mr. Don, Sean?
Yeah, I just want to talk just for a minute about the handyman projects in the real world.
All right. Okay.
You know, it's good to get out and do these projects. I guess I've done them off and on for my whole life, and, you know, I'm always first to say, well, give a project a try. Except sometimes... You know, again, in the real world, we run into some problems, and I just want to give one small example here of something that's unknown when you start a project.
Okay.
I have replaced the Carnish board, or board, whatever you want to call it, before in my lifetime. I've done that years ago. But the problem you run into sometimes is some long boards need replaced.
Yeah.
And that is really tough to be able to hold and nail by yourself. So, at this point, and with some other things I have going on right now, I decided I don't want to tackle this project. I'm going to get a person to do the project, and I will be the helper this time to help hold things up.
Yeah.
We're going to just kind of switch the switch the routine around a little bit.
Yeah.
So I contacted a guy that actually had done some work for Don Patterson out there on the pavilion, and got this guy to come by and take a look at the carnage board project, and also a little bit of decking that's underneath the carport that needed some paint. And anyway, we were going along, and the reason I say about a real-world project is we were going along, me and this other guy, looking at the carnage board, and he was going to figure me a price and all that. And I put the dog in the house, and we walked around into the backyard. Yeah. The same corner of the house that I've been going by all summer, you know, cutting grass and just going out the gate, doing one thing and another.
Uh-huh.
And the guy said, man, there is a big red wasp nest up in this corner. And that brings up the point, you know, if I was a blind guy or any blind guy doing that project by themselves, and I'd walk by that wasp nest probably many times over the summer, didn't know it was there. And the point is that if I'd been doing this carnage board project myself,
you'd have gotten
as
into
a blind person, tearing off the old board, I would have probably gotten into that big wasp nest. And
I've done that.
I'm just making the point that when you take on these projects, sometimes you just gotta, you know, it's just hard to think about everything that might come along that could be a problem.
I was putting an antenna up on the end of your house, that Norris Street house, on that garage end. There's a gable on that end.
There is.
I was putting an antenna up there and got into a wasp nest and got stung pretty bad one time.
Wow. And you was on the roof when that happened?
No, I was on a ladder when it happened. I was moving a pole. I was stacking it, putting a clamp up there to put a pole up or some stupid, who knows? God knows what I was
doing. I guess it's just conditioning. And when Emily and I moved out to Hudson, we call it Bear Claw Estates, actually, we encountered bees in several areas, and the kind we have, and I'm sure they're everywhere in the world, but in East Texas sometimes they're underground. And so we had a guy doing some tractor work for us, and he got his tractor coming up to the house, and he had been stung several times. His lips were all swollen and all that. And then one day, Emily and I were, and the dog, Ozzie, and the twin grandsons were walking back toward the back, and the bees came out, and they got one of the grandsons and Ozzie. And I had the other one under my arm and running with him. And so, believe it or not, the first thing I do when I start a project is get Emily to come. Emily is the wasp annihilator, and I get her to come and check out the area. We
good
do
idea.
The bee killer with the aerosol can, and so she'll arm herself and come, because I screwed up in one thing on the pavilion, putting in recessed lighting, and this is, of course, it's a covered roof, but it's outside as far as there's no walls.
You're gonna get what?
And the bees, I was going to replace a light bulb, and so I was up there on the ladder, and something flew past me. Well, I'm slow, but not that slow. It didn't take me long to come down, because I knew that was a bee, a stinging creature of some sort.
Yeah, wow.
So anyway, get them inspected.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I'd been walking by that nest, I'm sure, like I say, all summer, off and on, and never really knew it was up there.
Boy, those big, powerful spray cans will spray a long way.
Instant, oh, yeah,
they
killers.
Will.
You
instant.
Can stand off and really hammer it, because the kids got it. There's a stack of firewood out by the fire pit out front, and Tori was out there playing with some little golf game she bought, and she got stung a couple of times. And Luann went to the store and got one of those cans. Those buddies are no more. They're gone.
Well, you know, with our bees, it sort of mingled in with the so-called African bee thing that came over here 30 or so years ago. And so, really now, anymore, it seems like any of our flying, stinging creatures are more aggressive. You know, people have, I've grown, like Don says, I've done projects all my life, and it wasn't such a... I mean, remember so many incidences, it seems like now, but boy, these guys operating these tractors down in the wood can tell you some tales. So.
All right, anyway, what do you have, Pat?
Well, I was just going to talk a little bit. There's one thing we all do. We all use software in one shape, form, or fashion. And
yep.
I guess that's a good topic for us.
I don't know why not.
Anyway, and I was sort of lax here in the last couple of years about virus protection, anti-spyware, and to make a long story short, on two computers, Emily and I have had three major crashes. Now, one was just a mechanical, a hard drive cratered, blah, blah, blah. The two were just, we were infected with virus. Anyway, the computers just ceased to function.
They will.
And this is, you know, and it's sad because AVG was out there available for free, and there's several others that I had and just had kind of let them expire. Anyway, bought Norton 360. And the reason, the big selling point for that particular software that I purchased was the fact that you could use it on multiple computers at no charge. Three, as a matter of fact. Well, we have two. But once in a while in her work, Emily may get a laptop from whichever school district. But anyway, currently we have it on two. That was the selling point. And the fact that it said it did everything I wanted. Email, spam, you know, checking, viruses.
Yeah.
Okay. This past week, I'm probably into it a month and a half. You can go in the part that says my account, and it'll tell you how many days left you have of your subscription.
Yeah.
It was reasonably priced for three computers, $69. Nothing wrong. Installed it. It worked perfectly on both of the computers. I did not have a problem. Have not had a problem. It always, when I go to my computer in the morning and punch enter or spacebar and get it, come out of its sleep
mode. Yeah, wake it up.
I'm always gratified that there's a little thing up right below the tool, the address thing that says you are being protected.
That's right.
Oh, and I love it.
Yeah.
And go punch Emily's up because we have it over. You are being protected. Well, this Monday, Saturdays and Sundays, believe it or not, where that might be high use computer days for other people, are kind of my least. I do mine during the week, Monday, Friday, so Saturday, Sunday. Not so much. So I went in there Sunday evening and was messing around, and my Norton thing, there was a little window came up, and it says, you need to automatic update. You are not being protected. You
right.
need to go. Clicked on the updates. It fools around. It says, in progress. And then over here, it finally stops. It says, unable to connect to the server. Well, I mean, you know, that's a crock. I'm on the Internet. I can get on the Internet. But they can't get... So I
Strange.
Said, you know what, I'll check in. I was tired. I said, I'll look into this tomorrow. I will go to Emily's computer and do. I was going on eBay or something. Went over to Emily's computer, and there was the same Norton thing. Now, two computers not networked together. We just share a common modem, but we're not networked, and the same thing. Well, there's not a readily available contact number. You know, you can get them in chat, and I'm not a chat room person, especially since I don't have any glasses trying to keep up with that. And so I didn't see any ready phone. It says, if you email us with your problem, it may take 24 hours. Well, and I said, well, and we were gone some of the weekend. I said, well, no telling how long I've been unprotected. So anyway, I emailed them, and oddly enough, I got a response back. And it says, if you're doing this, do this. I had to go to the start menu to start, run, and then first playing was do like services dot something, and you had to go set some switches that instead of manual, it says make sure these are on automatic. Well, everyone I went to was on manual. So I go and change them to automatic. I did everything they said, did it on my computer, restarted the computer, everything works fine. Went to Emily's computer, did everything they said, it works fine. But my point is, why? The only common thing, I mean, this is so stupid, the only thing that both computers experience, not being networked or not, is daylight savings time.
That's right.
Now, Phil Parr maintains, and has said it all along, and I agree with him now, especially that the guys who make antivirus protection are probably the ones creating the viruses.
That's what I'm saying.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but I wrote them an email. And so I was going to kind of read my little email to them.
Where are your headphones?
They're on my neck. Kind of there. Why?
Yeah.
They're trying to feed me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it ought to be a simple update.
All right, anyway, they did send me the solution. But I said the solution provided in your email, that was from them, was able to correct the problem on both computers. And then in capital letters I wrote, but here's my question. Why did your program Norton 360 fail on both my computers at the same time? They're not, they are completely independent of each other. They are not networked. It says, I don't understand. Why did your program fail? This problem happened when I was gone from home over the weekend. Both computers were unprotected.
Yeah.
And they were, because it said I was at risk, you know. And so, anyway, so, but they wrote me back an email and just says that sometimes this happens. You know, that, that other things tried to interfere with the workings of their program at startup. Well, that's my whole problem is, how did it happen on both computers at the same time when both, when either computer has nothing to do with
it? I don't deal with Norton because I bought Norton's on a computer. About 2 weeks later, the computer failed, and the Norton people said, oh, well, Mr. Parr, that's tough. We took your money, but you don't have any virus protection, and on your new computer, you'll have to rebuy. So I didn't, and I don't deal with them anymore.
Well, I have 338 days to go on this account, and if I survive that long without a major incident, I will not deal with them either.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying anything wrong with them. People probably love them, but I won't have anything else to do with
them. Well, when it works, it runs good. I'm just still curious, and nobody has answered my question as to why both computers on the same day. And the only thing that I can, daylight savings time caused it to fail.
They produce the viruses.
I think they, So anyway.
I bought a new faucet for my kitchen sink because my wife wanted to, and that's about the only reason.
Wasn't leaking? The old one wasn't leaking?
I didn't think it was.
Good enough reason, I guess.
She seemed to think it was, but anyway. If you go to Home Depot, they probably, if you want to buy a new faucet, my point is this. If you go to Home Depot, they probably got 25 that you can touch.
Right,
you
they
can
do.
Actually, look at you.
Yep.
Don't have to. You don't have to say, "Well, now this one looks this," because you can actually feel these faucets.
That's right. They're out on a display.
They're there for the feeling. They're a little high up, too high up. You need to be taller than I am to reach them. They're up on a kind of a high shelf, but you can walk along, and they must have 25 different just kitchen faucets of all kinds that you can. You know, you don't have to guess what you're. Frankie, window's open. Frankie's letting us know she's alive. You can actually walk along at Home Depot and feel these things, and they're Home Depot is supposed to be the blind friendly store. We need to get a hold of Linda Justice and find out why they're way up. They're on a shelf that's about even with your head, even with your forehead.
No, they are high. I've seen
but
them.
They're way up there, but you can touch them. I mean, it is a product that you can feel. You're not buying something that you don't know. So I went into, I looked at every one they had and selected exactly the one I wanted, so I wasn't buying something that I didn't know what it was going to look like when I got it home. I knew exactly what it was going to look
right.
like. Right. Because they're all mounted up there, and then you just get whoever's with you to find the number of the faucet in a box.
In a box, and bingo.
The pig in the poke.
That's right.
I hate buying pigs in the poke. You right. take it, will this work? I don't know. They always go, how far are your faucets spaced apart?
I've had them say that.
Inches or 4 inches or 8 inches, I think.
We just bought one and it worked.
Yeah, because you can kind of get the idea. Well, at home, I reach and there
is
it
like
is. Yeah, you know.
But no, this wasn't a pig in the poke. This is exactly what the faucet is a little higher, and it doesn't have a swivel on the end of it. But I'm going to go buy. I got so used to the other one having a little swivel thing that you can move around. But this one is really, I'll show it to you now, has the neatest, big, nice, they look old-fashioned kind of looking handles.
Did you reconnect or in that conglomeration your dishwasher, that sprayer? I had a leak, a constant leak in mine, and I disconnected mine.
You disconnected what? Your dishwasher?
My sprayer.
Sprayer.
Yeah, it sits there.
I'm going to tell you a story. Remember I told you about the plumber getting a divorce?
Yeah.
He's still paying for that.
Yeah.
He paid for part of it last Friday by putting old filthy on a faucet. I didn't do it myself. Uh-huh. But the idiot left his basin wrench here
right.
for about an hour, uh-huh. and I didn't see it or I'd have stole it.
Yeah.
Because it was a nice one. It was nicer than the one I got. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, those are handy to have.
Gets a nutty left-hand basin wrench. Yeah. It was just laying there, and I could have had it, but I didn't go in the kitchen. I went in and looked at the faucet, and it...
I'm going to do mine someday when I feel in the mood, but the sprayer, not, you know, that pulls up out of the hole of your sink, you have it. Mine had always leaked under the sink, and nobody seemed... So I just said disconnect. In fact, I'm not sure that the set of faucets I replaced, which I shouldn't have had to...
No, you shouldn't.
In a house that was 3 years old, it didn't even have the connector for the. It doesn't even have.
This one had one right in the middle, a place to put the spray hose in.
Yep, I did away
nothing,
with it.
Nothing leaks. Well,
you know what? Nobody's mentioned. Hey, Mr. Don, your thing doesn't work.
Your spray hose doesn't.
Nobody ever washes dishes.
I'll remind Daniel of that next time he's up. of course, your wife, who is the. What did you call her last week?
I don't know what, though. That's your story, not mine.
You called
her. He can't remember, folks. He's not going to.
A damsel in distress. I didn't tell her that Sunday night, but if you'd pushed me, I would have.
Yeah, but boy, you won't go to Europe because you'll be dead.
I don't want to go to Europe anyway.
You don't?
No.
All right. Well, let's really talk about that.
No, we're going to Europe. Luann's going to Europe, and I got to go with her. If she's going, I got to go with her.
Well, that's what I think. I'm going, and she's going with me.
Charlie, you want to go to Europe? I guess that's out of the question, isn't it?
I'd have to pass for this trip, I think.
Well, anyway, we've done 113 today. And
213.
213, excuse me. We'll do 214 next week, I guess. Maybe Houston. Maybe Houston will...
The only way to cure it is go out and get him.
Just go out and get him?
Yeah.
But then he couldn't get around.
I don't think he has any great affection for Martha and them over us. But I think it's just...
Well, he wasn't making us a meatloaf there, smart mouth.
I'm saying, on the other hand, when you analyze it, maybe he doesn't like us anymore.
That's entirely possible.
You never know.
I don't know why.
I'm not too fond of us either.
I don't know why that would ever...
Anyway, thank you for coming, Don Shaw, Don Pat. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Another one.
Sharing your afternoon with us.
Down the tube.
That's Frankie Brown.
It is.
I'm staff announcer Phil Parris. He said the blind man asked. He picked up his hammer and saw.